Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you all here. We're looking forward to our time this afternoon as we eat together and fellowship together. It's going to be an encouragement just spending that time with one another. Before we begin this morning, let's sing this verse of "It Is Well With My Soul," and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the sermon. So let's sing this verse together. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. Well, we want to certainly welcome those of you who are visiting with us this morning, and I want to express an extra invitation to you this morning. We're going to have a potluck, as has been mentioned, following our service this morning. We want you to stay and to eat with us, and we would love to get to know you a little bit better. There's always plenty of food, and so we want to encourage you to stay. It's a great time that we're going to have together. Well, we're looking at walking with Christ in 2023. That is our theme this year, and we are taking time each week as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, this great sermon that Jesus gave at the beginning of his ministry. This was a message that has so much in it. That's such a rich text. This is something that he was able to express the desires that he has for God's people. And these are the attitudes and things that he wanted them to hold. We are spending this first few weeks going through the specific Beatitudes. We talked a little bit about that a few weeks ago and what that means. But before we get into that, let me tell you this story. There's a man named Danny Trejo. You may have recognized that name. He plays some of Hollywood's toughest characters. You may have seen this guy's mean mug in some of the most famous action movies that are out there. Usually, he's one of the bad guys. He has been in movies like Predators, Desperado, Heat, Con Air. Those sound like great movies, right? Those sound like a movie with dangerous people in them. Well, Danny Trejo has played probably some of the most scary people in those movies. And most recently, he's been a part of a franchise called Machete. Those sound like action movies, right? Well, he makes a great bad guy in movies because of this look that he has to him. He can look pretty mean and nefarious. Well, he also has a past in his life, a past of gangs and prison. But one of the things that, if you were to talk to him, is that he has changed in real life. And one of the things that he says is that everything good that has happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. What he means by that is that he looks for ways to help other people because he wants to repay those who were kind to him to get him to where he is today. And so he looks for ways that he can help other people. And he seeks to not take credit for anything that he's done, but to give credit elsewhere. Such a case happened in 2019. Danny witnessed a really bad car accident in Los Angeles, one where these cars had collided and it had been actually overturned. And so he ran to this car. It was upside down in the road, and he discovered that there was a baby trapped inside its car seat in this overturned vehicle. So he tries to climb in through one of the windows, but it was too far away from the actual seatbelt to where he could reach the seatbelt, undo it, and get the baby out of there. He was just too big to fit into this window. So him and another motorist, a woman named Monica Jackson, they actually worked together from the other side of this car, and they were able to get this baby free. They both downplayed their bravery. They said, no, we're not heroes. Danny Trejo, he said, the only thing that saved that little kid was his car seat. And that's it, not me. He really didn't want to take credit for what he had done. Well, this morning, we're moving into this next beatitude that Jesus teaches, this one that he preaches. It's not about bravery. It's actually not. But it's about where we place the credit when something we do is good and when we experience good things. So let's read our passage this morning. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verse 5, and we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. So let's read this together. Matthew 5, 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek. Meekness, it's this first thing about meekness that we need to understand is that it doesn't mean that you're a weak person. Meekness does not mean weakness. This is something that I think I hear every sermon about this particular verse, is that meekness doesn't mean weakness. That's like the fundamental thing everyone wants us to learn. I am feeling quite weak this morning. I have worked out for the first time in many years. And let me tell you, my legs are sore. You could probably see it when I was trying to get up and trying to sit down during those songs. It hurts. My legs are very sore. The trainer I worked with had me doing these squats, and I feel weak. But that doesn't mean I'm a meek person. Meekness is different than weakness. This is someone who is meek is anything but weak. A meek person is a gentle person, someone who's strong in Christ, someone strong in their faith, someone with this humble strength. A person who has this meek quality, they have shown surrender of themselves. And that is not about their power, but about God's power. They have surrendered their right to take credit for the things that God has done. Much like this story of Danny Trejo that we talked about. What we know about Jesus is that he would be considered meek. He drew attention to this aspect about himself. What did Jesus actually say about himself? That he is powerful and mighty? That he could take on all these people if he wanted to. I could wipe the floor with this entire room of people. No, that's not the attitude that Jesus had. He certainly could have done that, right? He could have, as the scriptures say, called down many angels, legions of angels, to save him. But no, he spoke of his ministry to these people in this way. And we're not going to be in Matthew 11 during the Sermon on the Mount, but later in his ministry, he said what? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What else was said about Jesus? Was he meek? The Apostle Paul, he spoke often of Jesus and where Paul's preaching had come from. He said in his letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I'm away. Paul, he served with this meekness and gentleness that he knows Jesus had. He wants these people that he's writing to know that his boldness actually comes when he's not with them, when they're away from him. That's when he's bold, because he wants people to see that he is gentle and meek. As for what Paul wanted people to seek out in the way that they lived, things like holiness and godliness, love and gentleness. What did he say to Timothy? But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, talking about these evil things that were previously mentioned in 1 Timothy 6. But he says, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. And then as for those who would be a servant in the kingdom, anyone who serves in the kingdom, gentleness and meekness are qualities that we should have. In 2 Timothy 2, he says this to Timothy, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. You know, we don't attack those that we disagree with. We don't bombard them with this mean spirit. We don't badmouth those. Even though we are correcting people, we do it with what? With gentleness, so that someone might repent and come to know Jesus better. We are gentle with sinners as we would want people to be gentle with us when we sin. What does Paul say about Jesus and his life and ministry as he walked among us here on earth? In Philippians chapter 2, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus humbled himself. He treated his being part of this triune God as nothing. He emptied himself and became a servant. And that is what Jesus is trying to teach these people in Matthew 5, in his Sermon on the Mount. Meekness is something that we should strive to be because Jesus was meek. His disciples were meek. But as we said earlier, meekness is not weakness. Jesus was not weak. And that leads to the second point. Meekness is not passive. Meekness doesn't mean that someone never gets angry. Jesus got angry. He watched as people treated his father's house with contempt by making it a marketplace to take advantage of the poor people. It caused him so much distress that he overturned tables, dumped them over. These tables that they were using to sell doves and to exchange currency. Jesus also called down woes to the Pharisees for the ways that they mistreated his people. He called them names like dogs and vipers because that's how they acted. And Jesus was not unable to defend himself. But Jesus chose to live this life that he led on his own accord. Jesus was not weak, but he also wasn't a pushover. And we see that in his life. Think about how these Beatitudes are written. They kind of progress from one to the other, and the ones that we've talked about already. If we read them in context, we read that if we are poor in spirit, we realize our spiritual helplessness. Then we go to the next one. We mourn. We mourn sin. We turn to God now. And then these people we see, these are the meek. As we read this a few minutes ago in Matthew 11 again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Being meek develops this new attitude about my life. Am I truly learning from Jesus? Am I gentle and lowly in heart like Jesus is? These meek people, the meek people that we should be, are grateful for the way that God watches over us and guides us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that leads me to the next position of the meek. The meek have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides the meek. The Holy Spirit is not only active when we read Scripture, though he certainly is active. But that's not the only way. The Bible says differently about the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when we're baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We also read that the Spirit intercedes for us in all our weakness. Romans chapter 8, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The meek realize their need for the Holy Spirit's guidance and intercession in our lives. The Holy Spirit, he speaks to God on our behalf when we cannot, which, if we're honest with ourselves, is most of the time. The meek are also humble. We accept what life might give us, and it's not always what we want. We don't seek to be raised up on a pedestal. We sang a few minutes ago, "It is well with my soul." Well, when the great Chicago fire consumed the Windy City in 1871, Horatio G. Spafford, he was an attorney, heavily invested in real estate. He lost a fortune because of that fire. About that time, his only son, who was 4 years old, he succumbed to scarlet fever and died. Horatio drowned in his grief in his work. He became a workaholic, pouring himself into rebuilding the city and assisting the 100,000 people who'd been left homeless at this time. Well, it was November of 1873. He decided to take his wife and his daughters to Europe. Horatio was close to D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, and he wanted to visit their evangelistic meetings in England and then enjoy a little bit of a vacation. Well, when an urgent matter detained him in New York, he decided to go ahead and send his wife, Anna, and their four daughters, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie, on ahead. As he saw them settled into a cabin aboard this luxurious French liner, and forgive me, I don't speak French, but it was something called the Ville du Havre. I don't know if I said that right, just so you know. But an unease filled his mind, and he moved them to a room closer to the bow of the ship. And then he said goodbye, and he promised to join them soon. Well, during the small hours of November 22nd, 1873, as this ship glided over these smooth seas, the passengers were jolted from their bunks. This ship had collided with another, an iron sailing vessel, and water poured into the ship. Screams and prayers and oaths, they merged into a nightmare of unmeasured terror. Passengers grabbed onto posts. They tumbled through the darkness. They were swept away by the powerful currents of the icy ocean. Loved ones fell from each other's grasps and disappeared into the foamy blackness. Within 2 hours, this mighty ship vanished beneath the waters. 226 fatalities, and it included Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie, his daughters. Anna, his wife, was found nearly unconscious, clinging to a piece of the wreckage of this ship. When the 47 survivors of this landed in Cardiff, Wales, she cabled her husband and said, simply, "Saved alone." Horatio immediately booked passage to join his wife, and en route, on a cold December night, the captain called him inside and said, "Horatio, I believe this is now where we're passing over the place where the Ville du Havre went down." Spafford went to his cabin, but he just found it too hard to sleep. So he said to himself, "It is well. the will of God be done. And he later wrote his famous hymn based on those words. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The meek are content with life, and they don't treat it like they deserve more than they have, but they trust God in everything. What does it mean that the meek inherit the earth? Jesus says that the blessed are meek and they receive the earth. The world tells us that we have to take all we can now. Take advantage of what you can get, because that's all there is in this world. What you have now is your status symbol. Having the best shows you're successful and worthy of honor. The world is telling us that it's survival of the fittest. If you're doing all you can to make a lot of money now and build up a portfolio and have the nicest things, then you are worthy of honor and successful. People are going to want to be like you. The world says that in order to do that, you've got to work hard. Work hard every day. Don't sleep. Get up early. Be the last to go to bed. Sleeping is for lazy people. Keep up with those Joneses. No, actually, do better than those Joneses. Those Joneses are losers. Do better than them. Make them look weak and lazy. Why? Well, you deserve it. Go on and get it. You're enough, and that's what matters. Your happiness is the most important thing. No, that's not what the meek do. The meek, they don't see themselves that way. They don't see themselves in their own power, but under God's power. And Jesus says those people are blessed, and they're the ones that will inherit the earth. We're actually not enough. God is enough, and he will supply all of your needs. Your holiness is the most important thing, not your happiness. The attitude of God owes me is not the attitude that we've discussed the last few weeks, right? That was the attitude of the Pharisees. They thought that they were doing everything right and that the sinners were the ones that were not worthy of any time or attention. But it was the Pharisees that Jesus actually took the most issue with. The meek recognize their need of Jesus in everything. And the meek, they seek that out first. What did our scripture reading say this morning? But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. A.W. Tozer says it this way. He says, being meek means a person has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is as weak and helpless as God declared him to be. But paradoxically, he knows at the same time that he is in the sight of God of more importance than angels. In himself, nothing. In God, everything. We aren't to this part of the Sermon on the Mount yet, but in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what has Jesus said? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How are you doing at meekness? Are you living a life that's devoted to Jesus, where you recognize that none of your life is from your own power, but it's all from God? Well, our challenge this morning, who in your life needs to see meekness modeled the most? This week, I want to encourage you to find a way to give your time to someone who's considered lower than you in status. Not out of obligation. Don't do this to become prideful. Oh, look what I'm doing. Serve someone this week because you love Jesus. For that reason alone. Do you have a neighbor or a coworker or a friend or someone who needs you this week? I can think of several people here in this room right now that need a friend. People who have recently lost loved ones. We have people in our prayer list who could use an ear to listen to them, hands to help serve them. People who have had surgeries that cannot use their hands well yet, and they could use some help. And I'm just going to say it, Susie and Brent, they have a meal site right now for helping them with meals, and I know they could use a friend. The meek will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Do you need a prayer this morning? Someone to pray with you through this? Is there something you need help with? Is it being better at being meek, being humble? Or maybe you need to repent for not being that way. Forgiveness. We can certainly pray with you this morning. If you don't know Jesus and you want to put him on in baptism, we can do that for you this morning as well. Let's stand and sing. We're going to sing this song of invitation. This is your opportunity to come forward while we stand and sing.